It is significant in the life of Jacob that he wanted God's blessing so much, but he was hanging on to himself. He was hanging on to things he wanted. And the Lord dealt with him, plainly those years under Laban's persecution, which is certainly what it amounted to. He learned a great deal about himself and about his frailty before God. But now the Lord has delivered him from Laban, and he's going back to face an angry brother, one that he had deeply hurt, one that he had tried to supplant. And now this weighs upon his conscience. This is chapter 32 of Genesis that I call wrestling with God. That is a dangerous practice because you are outmatched. Now, as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him. And Jacob said when he saw them, "This is God's camp." And so he named that place Mahanaim. Two companies, two camps. Now, this is very significant. Here is Jacob going back to meet his brother, and he has already heard that Esau is coming with 400 men, which does not sound happy at all. And as he is still pursuing his way homeward, the Lord graciously gives him a vision of angels. And he sees this company of angels, and he calls that place Mahanaim, two companies. He had a company of people with him, and lo and behold, God had a company of angels with him. He was not alone. Now, friends, that means a great deal when you have to face a crisis in life to find out you are not alone. In this case, Jacob recognized that God's keeping power was with him. And as he went back in faith to make something right that he knew he had done wrongly, here is God and his protecting angels with him. And what a comfort that is to Jacob to recognize that God is there helping him accomplish that very thing, helping him to go back and face Esau the way he should have years before. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now, and I have oxen and donkeys and flocks, male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Now, here is something that marks a tremendous step forward for Jacob. Jacob had been struggling to gain ascendancy. Jacob means heel grasper, one who supplants another. He had been trying to, in effect, supplant Esau to gain the right of the firstborn when it wasn't his. And now, he sent his messengers to Esau with words that must have stunned Esau. "Say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob." If there ever was a white flag flying in the breeze, that is it. The very thing that Esau wanted, ascendancy in the family, Esau says, "Lord, and I am your servant." Those words were the very thing that Esau was prepared to fight about. And here Jacob gives it to him. What a shock that was. And friends, what an evidence of growth in grace that is. Here is Esau ready to pounce upon Jacob with his men. And Jacob before just fought, wiggled, and fled, anything to hang on to the supreme position. And now Jacob says, "My Lord," to him, "and I am your servant." Now, that tells us that he had hauled down the rebel flag. He had made a tremendous progress in grace to come to that conclusion. And so, the messengers, verse 6, returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau. Furthermore, he is coming to meet you, 400 men are with him. Then was Jacob greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people who were with him, the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two companies. Well, that's interesting, two companies. Company of angels, company of people. Now the people are going to be divided into two companies. And he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the company which is left will escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Jehovah, who did say to me, return to your country and your relatives, and I will prosper you, I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which thou hast shown to thy servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me, the mothers with the children. For thou didst say, I will surely prosper you, and make your seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So here, Jacob does what is right. He brings the burden to the Lord. He doesn't know what to do. He has sent messengers with as kind a message as he could come up with. And here is Esau, 400 men, coming. Now, that is certainly a dangerous situation. He heard what Esau was planning on it. Esau intended blood. He was going to pay him back. And so he turns to God and he says, Lord, help me. Now, friends, that ought to be our response in every difficult situation. When we hear that circumstances are not good, one, we should not panic because God is still in control. But two, we certainly should lay our burden before the Lord and enlist His help in meeting whatever that crisis is. The times that we grit our teeth and go on to struggle anyway are always times of failure. It's the Lord who has to deliver us. He has to break the powers that oppose us and bring us through them successfully. And if He does not do that, then we're going to be defeated. Again, we've all found out what it's like to go down in defeat before circumstances, but the Lord makes the difference. And here is Jacob pleading with the Lord that the Lord would indeed work for him. And he confesses plainly that he has seen loving kindness and faithfulness from the Lord that he has never deserved, even as we have seen the Lord's faithfulness, his loving kindness poured out upon us again and again and again. We know we're not worthy of these things. We know the Lord has been gracious to us. But in verse 11, Jacob prays, deliver me from the hand of my brother. He was afraid of him. He knew Esau was certainly a man who could have done exactly what he had promised to do. He had the strength. He had the ill will. He certainly could have paid him back profoundly. And he pleads a reason with the Lord. Thou didst say, I will surely prosper you and make your seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered. The Lord had given him a promise. And so he takes that promise and he pleads that the Lord may fulfill that promise for him. Now, friends, that is a good way to pray. When you have something in God's Word, some promise in the Bible that God has given to you, then that is a good thing to base your faith upon. The fact that you've got a word from the Lord, that there is a verse that says thus and so, and you can plead this before the Lord, what assurance that brings. None of us can come before the Lord and say, look how much I deserve, look how much I ought to get. We cannot talk like that because we have no such deserts. The Lord Jesus, by grace, has saved us. If not, He is your only hope. None of us have any hope in ourselves. And here, he had a word from the Lord, and he says, Lord, keep thy promise. Bring it to pass. That puts real assurance in the heart because God does keep his word. Now, in verse 13, the text says he spent the night there. Then he selected from what he had with him a present for his brother Esau. Now, Here's an interesting thing. Jacob, all his life, has been thinking about what he can get. And yes, he had a real experience at Peniel. He had a real experience of God, and he has been learning. He has been growing spiritually. Still, his life has centered around what he could get. And now he thinks, maybe it is time for him to give. It's funny that the Lord has to bring someone to a dangerous position before that idea occurs. It looks like when we receive blessing from God, as Jacob did, and we receive it, and we receive it, and we receive it, and it just keeps coming, it looks like the thought would arise within us. Isn't there some way I can share this bounty? Isn't there some way I can be a blessing to someone else? But you know, we have that inner temptation to act like a boundless reservoir. The Lord gives and we take, and the Lord gives and we take some more, and isn't this great? Well, no, it's not too great when we let that be our attitude. We think of ourselves like a cistern, just kind of piling in the goodies all the time. But we know the Scripture says that's not a wholesome thing for us. And we are not a cistern sealed up. We're an artesian well. The Lord pours things in so that we may let them flow out. God gives us so that we may have something to give. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. How hard it is for us to remember that. In most cases, we receive and receive and just, you know, stockpile it and hope for more. And when is enough? Well, the slightest blessing from the Lord is something that we can share. The slightest grace from the Lord is something that we can use in helping others. Why do we have to ponder this and think about it so profoundly before we react to it? But here is Jacob. He has learned something. He has received such blessing. Maybe he should give. And so, the present for Esau. I don't think there's any present that he's ever given to Esau. At least I can't think of any in Scripture. And so, 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys, and he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by itself and said to his servants, "Pass on before me, put a space between the droves." And he commanded the one in front, saying, "When my brother Esau meets you and asks you, say, 'To whom do you belong? Where are you going? To whom do these animals in front of you belong?' Then you shall say, 'These belong to your servant Jacob. It is a present to my lord Esau. And behold, he also is behind us.'" Then he commanded also the second and the third, and all those who followed the drove, saying, "After this manner shall you speak to Esau when you find him. You shall say, 'Behold, your servant Jacob also is behind us.' For he said, 'I will appease him with the present that goes before me. Then afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.'" Now, this is a good plan to give. It was certainly a sight of Jacob that Esau had never seen before. And the words, these were the stunning things. "Your servant Jacob, my lord Esau." That was certainly something he had never heard from Jacob before. And so here is a cumulative effect of one group of animals after another, and hefty groups too. And one after the other, the servant says, your servant Jacob says, "My lord Esau, here's a present for you." They just keep coming, you know, a whole sequence of them. Well, that certainly was something that would cheer the heart of Esau, at the very least. But to think of his brother, the change in his brother, that was something that Esau hadn't counted on. Everything he had seen by Jacob was, I, me, my, and if I can get an advantage, I certainly will. All of a sudden, here are all these presents that start coming. What does that say? Jacob is different. Friends, do you realize that's the exact message that we have to give? If you have come to the Lord Jesus and are born again, your life should be different. Your life should be a life of giving blessings to others. And the only way people can know that you are really different, that the Lord has really done something for you, is if your life changes. And what used to be selfishness is now generosity. That's different. That's a rare commodity. That's something that people in the world don't see very often. And when your life changes, that has tremendous impact because people can recognize a change. And so Jacob does something that is a wise thing for Christians to do. He changes his habits and he starts letting the Lord use him as a blessing. In this case, a definitely unexpected blessing. Now in verse 22, he arose the same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream. And he sent across whatever he had. And then Jacob was left alone. Now here he sends his family across that stream. And it sounds like they're crossing the Mississippi, you know, a big thing. Actually, the brook Jabbok is something that runs the width about from here to the fern over there. If you're going to go across it, you can get across reasonably well. In most cases, even in the springtime, it is not something that couldn't be forded. But this was a ford. It was a shallow place where it was easy any season to get across. And so the Jabbok is not a tremendous water course. What was so solemn about all of this? That Jacob had cast his lot in a definite direction. He had sent his family on ahead of him, and now he has one further correction to make. He has been trying to get everything. Now he's prepared to give Esau something. But there's something he has not given. He has not given himself to God. He has given things. And that's the easy part, friends, to give things. The hard part is to give yourself. We have an awful inner drive to hang on to ourselves, to accomplish our purposes, to be what we want to be. But now Jacob is left all alone by his own choice. He knows he's got something to do. And he doesn't know how to do it. And he's struggling. And the inner struggle is all of a sudden reflected in an outward struggle because a man appears just out of the blue. And this man is an adversary. And the man comes forward to grapple with him. And they're wrestled with him until daybreak, this man. Now, Jacob is determined. Jacob is an individual who is not a quitter. And he is prepared to wrestle all night. He will not give up. Doesn't matter how exhausted he gets, how short of wind he gets, he is not going to quit. He's going to hang in there, kind of person he was. He wrestles. And in verse 25, when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. And the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. And then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." No, boy, that speaks volumes. Here is Jacob wrestling with an adversary, and Jacob is a strong man. There's no question about that. And he can't throw this man. He can't get the best of him. And all night they struggle. It's a terrific contest. And as the dawn begins to lighten, the man just touches his thigh. All of a sudden, his joint is out of joint, dislocated. It wasn't a wrestling hold. It wasn't strength. It was a light touch. And he knows exactly who he's wrestling with now. This is not a normal human being. This is not a human adversary. This is the person he has been wrestling with all his life. This is God. He has been trying to pull God over onto his side, to get God to bless his attempts to do things. He wants God's blessing, that's right, but he wants it his way. He wants it for me. And here the Lord just touches him at the hip. And all of a sudden, all his strength is gone. He is not able to stand, not able to get any hold. He's ruined as a wrestler. And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Supplanter, the heel grasper, the one who was always trying to get advantage of someone else. And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, one who is a prince with God, one who could, yes, wrestle with God." His name changed because his character had changed. And Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." And he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. They both knew one another. Jacob understood. And yes, the Lord was not going to tell him what was obvious. And the Lord blessed him. This is what Jacob had been wanting all along. The blessing of God. He was prepared to deceive his brother to get it. He was prepared to struggle with Laban to get it. But here, he asks for it, and he gets it. This is the real blessing of God. And Jacob named that place Peniel, the face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been preserved." And so, no doubt in his mind at all, he was struggling, wrestling with Almighty God himself. And he knew it. And when he gave up, God blessed him. My friends, that is a profound vision of what all of us have faced. We have all tried to get our own way rather than God's way. We have all struggled to accomplish something and everything was against us. And no struggling could succeed. But we asked God's blessing and God did it. And this is what Jacob has had to learn, that he can't accomplish his ultimate purposes by himself. Only God can do that for him. And when he quits wrestling and gives up in the wrestling against God and lets God have his way, all of a sudden the fight is over and he has won. Isn't that strange? The moment you quit, the moment you give up, you win. Because God accomplishes exactly what should be done. And for anyone, that is winning. Now the sun rose upon him, just as he crossed over Penuel, and he was limping on his thigh. Evidently, the Lord put his thigh back together again, but boy, it was sore. He's limping now because of what he went through. And therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip in any animal which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh and the sinew of the hip. And that injury was a sacred thing. That injury meant transformation of character. It meant victory in the life. It meant a triumph that only God could accomplish. And Jacob was a prince with God. A lame prince. Friends, I hope you can see yourself in this chapter. I hope you can detect that the things you have struggled for, the things you are straining to accomplish, and they're just a little bit out of reach somehow. Sometimes the people that you're struggling with and the difficulties that you face, somehow they're not resolved and it's always just a little bit out of reach. Friends, there's only one way to win, and that is to bow the knee to the Lord and to say, "Lord, here am I. Use me. Give me the grace to do what thou dost want me to do. My friend, every one of us must lose in order to win. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, can you think of something you've been straining for? Something you've been wrestling with? Something that you have not put into the hand of God? You've been clutching it tightly. Has the Spirit of God called that to your attention? If He has, would you in this quiet moment say, God, forgive me. Here it is, Lord. I give up. Have your way. Accomplish thy purpose, whatever the cost. If that is your heart's prayer, would you slip up your hand and say, yes, God helping me. Here it is. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. O Lord, how we thank Thee for this blessed book. How we thank Thee for Jacob, Thy servant, and the example that he is to us all. Lord, we ask Thy forgiveness for our struggles for selfish ends. We know that Thou art the one who should guide our steps. And we ask now, Lord, that Thou wilt indeed take charge and accomplish in our lives exactly what Thou dost need. We pray for these who have asked for special prayer. We ask that Thy Spirit will enable them to put upon the altar exactly what Thou hast spoken to them about, that they will turn their back upon it and leave it there and trust Thee to win the entire battle. We ask for grace, Lord, for every saint here, that our lives may reflect that submission to Thee, that Thy purpose may be accomplished through us, and Thy Spirit may take us and mold us and make us what we should be and use us to be a blessing to others. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.